You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello and welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very tech-centric top five for you. Steve, what is our top five?
I was told we'd have this tech by now.
And what exactly does that mean?
For years, science fiction has told us about all these wonderful things that technology will bring to us. Where the hell are they?
Get to work!
Get to work!
All right, guys, we have a lot of podcasts to get to. Let's get to the show. So, Steve, I just got out of my improv class at Second City, and let me tell you, there is a man in that class that makes me question my sexuality.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He's like Thor good looking.
I was going to say, is Chris Hemsworth in your improv class?
You know what? It looks like Chris Hemsworth with a fake mustache. So, yeah.
Ooh, I love fake mustaches.
Yeah. And I thought about it, and I was like...
And I'm gay.
And you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. No, Pete Holmes has a bit where he likes to say that if he's trapped on an island with Ryan Gosling, he's 68 days straight. Because it's going to be 68 days, and on the 69th day, he and Ryan Gosling are going to have sex. And I realized that if this man were to ask me out, I'd be 20 seconds gay. There'd be 20 seconds of me being like, well, could I be?
I mean, I'm really flattered. I'm like, very excited.
Ooh, and then I just start thinking about what all that would entail. I'm like... I'm sorry, I can't do it.
But man, I'll tell you what, that was a fun 20 seconds.
But if he were to pull like, oh, no, nothing sexual, I just want to take you out to eat and then cuddle you in my massive arms, I'd be like, well, now you're talking.
Now, friend, sign me up.
Yeah.
Well, hey, congratulations, Wes.
Hey, I'm glad I am not just a straight to the left on the sexuality spectrum. I'm like a one notch above straight.
Nice. Very nice. That's a good spot.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
Nice spot to find yourself in.
That's right, man.
So I had a little bit of a double whammy of
good looking dudes
of just pounding me.
Oh no, this is a story.
And I was like, that's about 2.5 hours gay in this into this romantic session. And I was like, I think I might be done.
Yeah. But hey, you tried it, and here we are.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to meet up again later, but...
Sure.
No, so if you recall, Wes, last week I was talking about how much more comfortable I am with the idea of having a little girl and, you know, the excitement building about being a dad. And then yesterday I had I took a fall down a horrible black hole of parenting that I... Now found myself almost impossibly stuck inside.
Oh, no. What is this?
I found out how much daycare / childcare costs in the city of Chicago.
Well, it's easy because children have to go somewhere, so there's probably a lot of daycares that offer really cheap rates.
Right. No. Oh, no.
Oh,
that's
no?
Right. There are plenty of places, and they want to rake you over the hottest of coals they can find.
Oh, that's...
To cut to the chase here, Wes, because I work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, so for... You know, daycare, to do that, it would cost me approximately $1,800 a month.
Jesus Christ!
$1,800 a month. Wow. So now it's like, look, Steve, there's going to be, like, no one's going to know. We can do quick time machine this thing 6 months ago. You can either buy a Ferrari... Or you can have a little girl. I'd be like, well, for those kind of dollars, let's talk about the maintenance plan on a Ferrari.
That's right. It needs to go to car care 5 days a week.
Ah, damn it. Like, holy shitballs, dude.
Well, the daycare system is assuming a couple of things. One, they assume you love your child.
All right. Which remains to be seen.
That's right. And two, they're assuming that you won't just leave it at home alone.
When I leave in the morning, I say goodbye to my pooch. I'm like, all right, Luna, guard the house, be a good girl. All right, baby, don't die. See you in 10 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any way that could go poorly for anybody.
Oh, no.
I come back and, like, Luna has cleaned the apartment. She's like, she's got the baby, like, in her paws, like, rocking it back and forth. Like, wow, Luna, really nice.
Then she charges you $1,800.
It's like, you know what? At least I know where it's going. That's fine. Right. That's fine.
See, you really just need that baby to get a job ASAP.
God, man. $1,800.
That is absurd to me.
My God, it's like adding a mortgage payment, but having a really fucking nice house.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, it's like, oh, it's blah, blah, blah. So as I was researching this, I was like, my God, oh, sweet God, this, oh, no. And then I was like, all right, well, I obviously immediately need to find ways to save more money and earn more money. So I'm like, what if my wife and I got put on like a family plan thing for our cell phones? Maybe that would save a couple bucks a month. Let me take a look. And let me tell you what a horrible, horrible idea it is to get worked up and then start dealing with a telecommunications company.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you, let me give you a 100% Steve recommendation. Go ahead and never do that.
Got it.
Never, ever do it.
Got it.
Because when was the last time you bought a phone, Wes, or like changed your plan or whatever?
Oh, changed my plan? When U.S. Cellular left Chicago and didn't tell me, I had to switch to Verizon.
Okay, that was what, like 3-4 years ago?
4 years ago, probably.
Okay. So I think my plan is up in a couple months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, let's see what kind of offer they have, whatever. And so now, when I bought my phone 2 years ago, it was like, cool, you buy your phone, and then you have your plan. Now, all they want you to do is lease a phone for, like, $25. Like, to lease an iPhone is, like, $30 a month.
Wait, what?
Yes. They don't want to sell you the phone. They want to lease you the phone. And do you remember, like, it's like, sign up for a two-year contract, and the phone's, like, $150. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Like, whatever. Now, if you go to AT&T or Verizon, it's like, cool, you can lease the phone for $30 a month. Or you can finance the phone for 24 payments of roughly $30 a month. Or you can just buy the phone right now for like $700.
What?
Yes. Apparently, they have completely gotten away from buying the phone for X amount of dollars when you sign up for a contract, as opposed to everything is monthly now. It is monthly access, it is monthly, you know, obviously your plan, and now the phone payment as well, they want it to be monthly.
That is terrifying to me.
Yes. So, I went online in hopes of maybe saving $20 to $30 a month, maybe by doing a family plan. I don't know, check it out. Turns out instead, they wanted to charge me almost double what I currently pay. I was like, and living in a world full of mad people. I was like, honestly, who has this money? Like, I'm not a super wealthy person, but I am also not, you know, on the poverty line. You know, like, I do okay. I'm a middle class-ish dude. I guess lower middle class. I don't know, whatever. But who the fuck has the money to do these things? And then I was thinking, like, oh my God, I have a wife that has a full-time job, as do I, and, like, yeah, we have our own, you know, payments of things and whatever, but, like, we're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if I were, like, a single mom with, like, two kids.
Oh, my God.
You know, working an okay job. Like, what on earth would I possibly do? What would I do?
I have no idea, man. Like, that's why so many single moms, like, have to work three jobs.
I mean, it is. What, like, so all of these things happened yesterday afternoon. I was like, oh, God, this is expensive. Oh, God, why is this so expensive? Wait, not just for me. What about everybody else? Like, what about the little people?
This begins your crusade against big daycare.
My God, man. Like, what are we doing?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm interested to see how much daycare is outside the city.
Sure.
Outside Chicagoland, even.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, man. Like, that just seems so ridiculous and so over-the-top expensive. It has to only be in the city.
Man, you know what's crazy? Chicago's I think we're top five most expensive cities in the U.S., I believe. I know San Francisco if it's not number one, it's number two. New York is either one or two.
Sure.
I think Seattle's pretty expensive, and like there's obviously a couple other ones.
It's Hamilton, Illinois.
Hamilton, Illinois. My God. Where the streets are paved with gold and,
that's right.
And daycare admission tickets.
Yep.
My God, man. Like, I know we live in one of the more expensive cities in the U.S., but I agree. Like, I'm interested to know, like, I don't know, what if in, like, you know, Indianapolis or, like, I don't know, like, what, like a middle-tier city. You know, like, what does that cost and what does, like, but it's just crazy, man. It's absurd.
Yeah. You're talking me out of having a child in the near future.
God, dude, because it was one of those things where it's like, hey, when you have a kid, yeah, it's expensive. Oh, yeah, I know. You got to feed him in those diapers and baby wipes. That's right. And like, and it's one of those things that until I really looked into it, everyone's like, no, daycare. It's like, yep, that's right. I feel like it's almost the same thing with like student loans with people where it's like, oh, I got those student loans. Yeah, I got that student loan. It's like, oh, yeah. You have $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 worth of debt hanging around your neck. Yeah. But we wrap it up into two words and make it real easy. Student loans, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Daycare, all right.
Oh, boy, man.
It's just so easy to gloss over it.
Well, you know, I work from home. So if you want to bring the little one over here, I can turn the TV on.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you $17.50 a month.
That'd be great. It's a steal.
Save me $50 a month. I mean, all right.
I'll teach little Alice or Abigail. I assume her name is going to start with A. and
based on nothing.
Absolutely nothing. I'll teach her how to play video games, and I'll teach her up real nice.
My God, man. So sorry to rant there, but it was truly a stupefying, horrifying, an eye-opening experience yesterday.
Oh, I really want to find another ifying
word. Yeah, horrifying, stupefying, and
terrifying.
Ah, terrifying. Yeah. There we go. All right. Yeah, those are the fyings that happened yesterday.
Well, Steve, we only have a few more minutes before we get into emails. Are you watching anything or playing anything?
I'm watching all of the money I've ever earned in my life fly out the window.
Yeah, and just watching that bank account dwindle away.
Dwindle. I'm not going to have enough money to build a tower for my teenage daughter.
Oh, no.
This money is tower money.
And if you want to hire a dragon or something to guard it?
Dude, the dragon's out. The dragon is just out right now.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
I cannot
fine.
Budget for a dragon right now.
Oh, man.
Unless the dragon can do daycare. Then I'm willing to speak to dragons.
I mean, we can talk to Daenerys. Maybe like there could be a dragon nanny type of situation.
God, I wonder what that exchange rate is. Like Daenerys, like, yes, my dragons will and the Unsullied will watch your daughter from Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. However, like what is that cost?
An army. An army or 1,000 boats. Like, do you have 1,000 boats in your back pocket?
Well, shit, for $1,800 a month, I could probably lease her a pretty decent army of boats, or navy of boats.
Or maybe just your cell phone.
Yeah. Daenerys would probably be pretty blown. Actually, I imagine going back to, like, medieval times and be like, oh, look at this. Like, I feel like Daenerys would be like, I am the mother of dragons. Yeah, that is way cooler than my iPhone.
Like, hold on, have you heard of Google?
Oh wait, I don't have any service in Westeros.
I should have thought this through.
Son of a bitch.
So you're just watching that? Is that all that's happening?
Watching that. I'm playing some City Skylines still.
Cool. Your horrible Death Village.
Yeah, started again, and there's less dead piling in the streets, which is good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction. Doing that. Yeah, that's the main thing I've been playing as of late. And have I been watching anything? My wife is very much into, is it Peaky Blinders? Binders?
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders. So I've caught a couple, kind of like half episodes, which seems pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
There's an appearance by Tom Hardy in there, which I was like, all right. And of course, this is my favorite exchange. He's like, classic Tom Hardy. Beautiful.
Killing it as usual.
Yeah, just an incredibly talented actor.
Well, I had to delete Dragon Age Origins from my PlayStation 3.
Uh-oh.
A couple reasons. One, we talked about before. I just, of course, had to do everything. It was such a huge time suck. I put 40 hours into this bitch. I was probably like 60, maybe 70% of the way through it.
Oh, Wes.
And I realized that, I don't use the F word lightly, realized that I had fucked myself.
No.
See, I haven't played a lot of RPGs like this in my day. You have a party of 10 people, and you can pick any four of them to go out on an adventure, and you can level them up. You have like six different stats, like strength, cunning, dexterity, magic, constitution, and one other thing, that every time you level up, you get 3 points, and you can add it to that. What you're supposed to do is, like, for your warriors, put it all into strength and constitution.
Diversify, like specify and diversify.
Exactly. Rogue, dexterity, and cunning, of course. Magicians, obviously magic. What I did, like an idiot, I spread the points around too much. So I had a group of people who was kind of okay at everything, but was not particularly good at anything.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, exactly. So I would have to... I was high enough level and I was far enough in the game that all... Like, it seemed like every other battle I would have to play like 3 or 4 or 5 times. And these are not short battles.
Yeah.
Until I could, I'm a cheese dick my way through it. And then on to my way to the next battle. And after a particularly tough battle, I was like, I can't go back and redo this. I put 40 hours into this.
Oh, dude.
It's gotta go, man.
Oh.
I know, it's a little heartbreaking.
That's very heartbreaking.
Yeah, man.
I thought you were gonna say you were deleting it just because it was too much time and you keep getting sucked into it. And
I mean, that was a part of it as well, but it just added to the fact, like, that part didn't bother me, but the fact that I was wasting so much time with these replaying these battles, everything was going 3 times as long as usual.
Now with the knowledge that I have that you're doing all these battles so often, like, I sunk 40 hours into it. I got to, like, the second level.
Yeah, the second plot point of the whole thing.
Man, and I was like, oh, I'm really kicking ass, but I don't know.
I started playing Saints Row, Gat Out of Hell, and it's so nice just to play a Saints Row game again.
What a difference from Dragon Age, right?
And it's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice just to rip through that whole entire, well, hell in this one.
Yeah.
But Steve, let's get to some emails from last week.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of emails written in from last week's top five, which is, if you remember, bad guys we can get behind.
Yeah.
Let's start with our old pal Nicodem. He writes in his top five. His number five is interesting. Wilson Fisk from Daredevil.
Since I never finished Daredevil, why don't you lay it out for me?
His methods may be controversial, but his motives are actually pretty relatable. He just wants to do what's best for his city. He wants crime to go down, people are supposed to feel safer, vigilantes like Daredevil think they are above the law. He has to do something, right?
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I guess, not a bad pick.
Sure.
I don't know it all that well, but I agree with his points right there.
Well, how about number four, Sandman from Spider-Man 3?
No, he's wrong, because nothing from Spider-Man 3 can be in anything
but
that's good.
But he just wants to save his little daughter. He is a good guy in his heart, but he is desperate to help her, so he risks his life to get money for her treatment.
I mean, you might be right, but I've blocked Spider-Man 3 from my mind.
Steve, he goes on!
No!
He even says, I don't want to hurt you. He is a tragic character, and in the end he redeems himself. Good for him.
I honestly can't argue that it's not accurate, because I don't care at all.
Right.
I hate Spider-Man 3. It's so awful, I've already felt like we spent too much time talking about it.
Do you still play that game with that small group of people where you try to sneak this Blu-ray of Spider-Man 3 into their backpacks?
It's been a while, because a couple of us moved away, which makes it harder to do. But yes, from time to time, we will sneak the Blu-ray copy of Spider-Man 3 into somebody's belongings so they take it home with them.
And then when they open up that bag, they're like, God damn it!
No! No!
His number three is Tom from Tom and Jerry.
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting pick, and I agree.
Does he have his reason, his rationale?
Well, let's be honest, he says. Jerry the Mouse is a dick. He's constantly toying around with Tom, stealing his food, hurting him very badly at times, and he just doesn't leave him alone. Tom just wants to live a normal cat life without any intruders in his house who are terrorizing him. Isn't this what we all want?
Yeah, yes, and I like the pick. However, I do feel like Tom he's got a little sociopath going through him there.
I mean, he does instigate at times, but Jerry is just as at fault.
I mean, Tom goes to the point where he's writing the Acme Corporation to get essentially weapons of mass destruction.
But he's trying to rid the house of vermin.
Yes.
Jerry is a rodent, a pest.
That's true. That is true. And we, as was documented, my tribulations with mice fairly recently as well.
That's right.
So I mean, I understand it. I understand. Okay. I mean, it's not a bad pick. I can see it. Obviously.
Nicodem, I am 100% with you. The only fault is it's not at number one. My number two is Mr. Hector from Home Alone 2, The Concierge.
Oh, man. Home Alone 2?
These are some deep cuts, by the way.
Absolutely, man.
Except for Wilson Fisk. These are some total deep cuts. In a previous email, I mentioned how Kevin is a horrible kid and probably sociopathic.
Yeah.
And part two is no exception. He is lying and stealing his way through New York, and Mr. Hector, played brilliantly by Pennywise the Clown, just wants this little bastard to leave his hotel. That's his job, to make sure everything is fine.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin is a nightmare. He is a nightmare child.
That's right.
Ugh. All right, I will not lie. It's been a long time since I've watched Home Alone 2.
Well, his number one is one that you are familiar with, Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I thought about this. Please give us his rationale.
In the beginning, he is our hero, but during the show's runtime, he becomes a real supervillain, and we are still rooting for him. That's actually very weird. He is responsible for many, many deaths. He sells drugs. He wants more and more money no matter what, and even when he has enough, he won't stop. But he did it all for his family, quote unquote. And for that reason, we can't really blame him. Or can we, he writes.
Yeah, part of the reason that I left Walter White off is because of his arc, you can make a case at different points of him being a different character.
Mm-hmm.
And because obviously Walter White from episode one to Walter White at the end of the series. And also right in the middle, very, very different characters.
So, yes, sir.
It's almost too difficult to put the label on him because it depends where you're commiserate with him, which Walter White you're talking about.
So, sure.
I'm not saying it's a bad pick, but that's why I left it off my list. He's almost too good.
Sure, sure. Well, thank you, Nicodem, for writing in. But let's move on to our good friend Alex's top five. His number five is the man in black before his body became engulfed by the smoke monster for Lost. He has some spoilers here, but I think that Lost has been over long enough that we can go into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers if you care. All he wanted was to leave the island. After he died, his soul had been trapped there in the form of the smoke monster, all for 2,000 years. But Jacob couldn't let the monster leave. Even though it wasn't technically him in there, the human side of him showed ambition and the desire for discovery. I mean, I can get behind that. He just wanted to leave.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling that anything about Lost, you're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of meh.
Yeah, it's meh.
Unless we're talking about the pilot episode, because pilot's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And some of those season finales. Holy shit.
Absolutely.
His number four is Walter White. We just covered that. Yeah. His number three is Darth Vader / Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting, not the Empire itself, but Darth Vader specifically.
I mean,
I assume he is talking more about the Empire, not Darth Vader's murdering tactics.
I was going to say, because, in New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, most of Empire, it's hard to back Vader.
Yeah.
It's hard to, that dude is just, that's a killing machine.
Exactly.
That's just a mind-fucking killing machine.
But somewhere else off in the Empire, now we're talking.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. What do you think on that, Wes?
I can't really get behind it because he's just a murder machine. That's all he does, like you said. He's like a micro machine, but murder instead of micro.
A major micro murder machine.
That's right. What is number two is Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean.
God, damn it. I fucking hate these movies. I don't know why. I don't know why these couple of emails seem to be like, hey, Steve, here's some shit you just don't like.
He says, in Pirates of the Caribbean 3, we learn more about why he's so angry and vengeful, and it's quite depressing.
Is it because he's an octopus man thing?
That is part of it. But he also couldn't visit his lover, Calypso, for 10 years, and when they could finally meet, she wasn't even there. She gives the middle finger to him, basically. The dude got stood up, and he went on a mass murdering maritime spree.
A maritime murder spree? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You should write headlines for a shitty newspaper.
Thank you. I'll have the words out of order at first, but
perfect.
I'll get there.
Man, I won't get into too much. I just fucking hate Pirates of the Caribbean.
I like the first one.
God, I just hate them.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not saying it's a bad pick. Again, I just don't like it.
His number one, though, is Benjamin Linus, also from Lost.
A double dip in the Lost pool.
That's right. He writes, again, spoilers for Lost, if you care. He grew up on the island with his abusive dad and then got shot as a kid, as we saw in season 5, decided to join the others, and watched his adoptive daughter get gunned down by the season 4 villain. Yes, he's a manipulative asshole, but then in the final season he gives us redemption. I mean, yeah, he's had some tragedy, but I feel like you can only be so much of a dick before...
It only buys you so much goodwill.
That's right. Before the abusive father and shit excuse, it only gets you so far.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's something to me, I guess, about a villain that, like, I get behind him. I feel like if his motives are, like, simple and clear to me, mm-hmm. I feel like Ben Linus is so manipulative and so, like so mentally abusive.
Sure.
That it's hard for me to back him. Because I feel like even if it is for the right reasons, I feel like I don't want that power turned on me at any point either. Like, I just don't trust it ever. Like,
sure.
I never, ever trust him ever.
Sure. I think he is a great villain.
Right.
And but I don't know if I can get behind him. But Alec, thank you so much for writing it in.
Yeah.
You have a different opinion than we do, and that's what makes the world go round.
Yeah, or you're just wrong.
Okay, Steve, come on.
All
now.
Right.
Our last email that we have time for is from Ben Birdwhistle.
Ben Birdwhistle?
His number 5 is Magneto from X-Men, as we discussed. His number 4 is the villains from Star Trek Insurrection, a movie I have not seen.
Wait, Insurrection, is that Eric Bana?
I don't know. If only there was a device we could use to look it up.
Oh, God, if only.
But he says the villains in this movie want to use a planet's unique radiation, which has regenerative properties to heal their dying race. But the planet's current occupants are a bunch of back-to-nature anti-technology hippies who say that if you have technology, then we won't help you, even if you're dying.
Ooh.
Yeah. I can see that.
There we go.
That's some villains I can get behind.
I like these villains.
That's right. Is number 3 is General Thunderbolt Ross from The Incredible Hulk. I assume The Incredible Hulk. Yeah, so this is the Edward Norton one.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure, Ross is a giant douchebag who abuses his rank and military resources because he wants to capture the Hulk and weaponize his genetics. But it is also difficult not to see how someone could think the Hulk's existence might be a threat to anything and everyone around him. Which is pretty much the plot, of like a subplot of most Hulk and Avengers movies, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like Hulk is just tough in general.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah, it's tough.
But I agree getting behind someone trying to take him down because he's such a threat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But his number 2 is the Red Queen from Resident Evil.
Oh, I thought it was Red Queen. I thought we were trying to Game of Thrones for a second there.
No, no, no.
She's the Red Witch, not the Game. But anyway.
Yeah, whatever. From Resident Evil. Interesting. Every action that the Red Queen takes in the movie is designed to prevent the spread of the virus and limit the deaths caused by the nameless asshole stealing the T-virus. Hey. Short, succinct, very true.
Yeah, what is the Red Queen? What is she?
Do you remember? I mean, we did the Netflix review.
Yes, I try to block it as best I can.
Do you remember the creepy British red child that showed up?
Yes.
That's the Red Queen.
Okay. Yeah, and the guy from the villain that was trying to steal it, or the guy, whatever, that's trying to steal it, he's also the guy from... got the Purge, and from Captain America, he's the guy that like fights Captain Cap in the elevator, right? He's like the head of security, correct?
I think that's somebody else.
Damn it, it is someone else. Now I can see his other face.
Yeah, his stupid face. His stupid,
damn it.
Stupid face.
Ah, that's not even Eric Bana in the movie. I don't know anybody in anything.
Wait, you just spent this whole last few minutes looking up Eric Bana?
And it's, no, just Insurrection. It's not Eric Bana. I'm so mad.
Oh, man. Well, his number 1 will make you feel better.
Oh.
Zex. Yeah, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Zex from Mobile Suit Gundam Wing. I have no idea what this is.
It's a Japanese anime series.
Let's read what he writes.
Let's read here.
Most people probably haven't watched this. Okay, good. But all
oh,
of the
man, thank God.
Thank who? Not the weird one. But all the Gundam anime series discuss war, its consequences, and why there are no good or bad guys when war is underway. In Gundam Wing, Zex, or Miliardo Peacecraft, reflects on the current tendency of wars to start but never end and shift alliances just to boost profit or power for a few. Zex feels the reason for this is that too many people just don't care about what happens in war anymore and don't try to see its consequences. This is a long one. Because of this, Zex has decided that the only way to end war is to create a war that is too violent, destructive, and costly to ignore. Interesting. He goes on. The way he does this is to drop a space colony out of orbit on Earth, which would wipe out a third of the human population and put Earth in an eternal winter for decades. While I cannot agree with this method, so I can understand the mindset of making people pay attention to how bad war can be so that they would not want to do it ever again.
Not too dissimilar from, on your list, the guy from The Watchmen, finding a unifying, rallying cry for all of humankind to get behind. Despite that's some severe consequences, perhaps, finding that thing. Not an easy thing to put on the top five, but a bold thing to put on the top five.
Exactly, and I can clearly relate. So what a wonderful top five.
Why, my heavens, what a man, what a list.
Thank you all for writing in your top fives. We always, always, always love hearing what you guys have to say. But Steve, we gotta look toward the future, especially for this week's top five. What is this week's top five?
I was told we'd have this tech by now.
Now, what does this mean?
This means we've been watching sci-fi movies for years and years and years and
too
years.
Too long!
No, just long enough.
That's right.
And there are things that, like, in the year 2016, and they show us things like, yes, and we're in the year 2016.
Yeah.
And I look around and I don't see these things.
Yes, yes.
There's so many amazing things the world of sci-fi has brought to us via the screen that we still don't fucking have.
Now, I want to be clear here. I didn't search out stuff that movies had said we'd have by 2016.
No. Okay. No. I didn't. No, it's just in general. You know,
sure.
Like, you know, things for everywhere from Star Wars to Star Trek to name whichever futuristic video game you or and Japanese anime and whatever. Things are like, oh, yeah, this, we should have that. Where the fuck is that?
Yeah. Yeah!
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 Yeah! Where is it?
God, bring it to me! Steve, my number five, you might think is so lame, so I'm just going to start the top five and get it over with.
Reusable diapers for adults, am I right?
My number five, I just think it's a great idea. My number five... You're going to think this is so lame. My number five is self-tying shoes from Back to the Future.
No, I don't think that's lame at all, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I was expecting you to pounce on me.
No, we're talking about when Marty McFly in Back to the Future 2, he gets all wet, right? And his clothes automatically dry off, mm-hmm. And then his shoes...
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, dude, those shoes are killer.
Thank you.
They're killer.
Sometimes I hate tying my shoes, especially like if I just took them off and then I realize, oh, I have to run to Target or something. I'm like, but I have to fucking tie my shoes again. How great would it be just to step into those shoes, just walk out the door?
Those shoes, I think within the last year or so, because those are Nike shoes that he's wearing, quote unquote, in the future, that Nike made an actual production version of that shoe, like limited run. Like when I say limited, like ultra limited, I think they made like 500 pairs, like 1,000 pairs of those shoes. They obviously didn't self suction down,
yeah.
But it's those shoes that you tie. It's the same exact shoes. Like they sold out in seconds.
Sure.
And instantly, they were back on eBay or whatever, selling for like 10 grand a pair, you know, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and the shoe, like they're super high tops, if I recall correctly. Like they're super cool looking shoes, but like, what, like, wouldn't, that's honestly, isn't that something that we should just have by now?
Thank you. Yes.
We have watches that can start our cars, but we can't just like step into our shoes and then be like,
That'd be great. It'd be just the ease and simplicity of a flip-flop, but with the feeling of a tennis shoe.
And, like, why can't we also have, like, soles of shoes that once you, like, once you put your feet in, like, they suck down from the top, and then, like, the bottom part, like we have the things that can read, you know, your the layout of your feet when you go to, like, shoe stores. Why can't they just do that in the shoe and be like, all right, need to add a little arch support in the right foot? Like, why can't we do this?
Yes, and why can't it be affordable for the masses?
I mean, honestly, if they came out with that pair of shoes right now, like, look, it's $500. Like, done. Fine. I spend $100 now on shoes that don't do that bullshit.
That's right. I'm about to spend $1,800 a month.
At this point, I'm just burning money I don't have anyway. Sure. Give me some fakey shoes from the future. I don't fucking care, man. Go for it. Sign me and a pair for my baby that can't even walk.
That's right.
Yes, the futuristic footwear should be a thing.
I would love that.
Damn it.
That'd be great. Wes, why don't we have that?
Why are we yelling at each other?
I don't know. I agree with you so much.
All right, fine. My number five. Also, not the most exciting of picks, but talking about a thing we do every day. We put our shoes on every day. Another thing we do every day is we eat food. Where are complete meals in pill form?
I can't go with you on this.
What, Wes? We were grooving, dude. We were in the same.
I'm sorry, man.
We were rowing together. We had this ship flowing, baby. What happened?
I'm sorry, man. Why don't you tell me why you want this? And I'll.
Here's the thing. I have to eat a lot of food because I get hungry all of the time. We have that tall, skinny guy. Well, not quite as much now that I'm past 30, but had that metabolism just a blast furnace. And I swear to God, sometimes I just get tired of the actual motion of chewing and eating.
Really?
Like, swear to God. Sometimes, like, God, I'm eating. I'm like a fucking cow. Like, I'm just here gnawing this grass all day. Oh, nah, like, my jaw is tired. I'm just tired of eating.
Well, Steve, you need to stop chewing grass.
Well, if you have... I'm paying $1,800 a month for childcare, Wes. I have no other options. I dropped $2,000 on shoes.
And they just broke, so I need to get a repair.
My God. So if you were to tell me, like, I'm not saying that food in pill form replaces all of my meals.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, like, for breakfast, like, I don't like eating breakfast that much in the morning. I know that I need to do it. So it is my most healthy meal of the day because I don't want to eat anything anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like, cool, I'm going to have like this small little kind of protein shake thing, have some fruit, and like here's like a healthy breakfast. Like, cool, I'm done. And dinner, I'll do whatever. But like if I could just do the same thing and like I wake up in the morning and instead of allotting those 10 minutes to get food together, if I could just pop a pill in the morning, like done. All my vitamins, nutrients, protein, and I don't feel hungry and I'm good until lunchtime or whatever. And like if I want a burger – great, I get a burger for lunch, or I just pop a lunch pill, and now I'm full and good to go. And then, but there are still restaurants, there's still grocery stores, there are still all these things.
Okay, that's the thing I was worried about. I thought you were talking about replacing food for just these pills.
And no.
Sometimes sitting down to a delicious meal is so relaxing and
I love
wonderful.
Food. I love food. And I love sitting around the table with people. Like it's food is such an important part of who we are as humans. Mm-hmm. It is. I'm not saying that we're like great. All farming is now to food pills and like no. I just want there to be actual like meal supplements in a capsule that you can do if you chose. And like and think about the health benefits for like people that don't like to eat or whatever, or like people that have diabetes or people that like it's like look you need. You need to stop eating McDonald's. You need to stop drinking soda. You need to stop doing this. Like, cool. You're going to be on a 2-pill-a-day meal replacement, and you can do whatever you want for dinner. That's fine.
Interesting. I wonder how these pills would work, because the thing is, like, we already have supplements.
But they're not – but they're – they're supplements. They're not like replacements.
Sure. Like the pill would have to almost expand in the stomach. I'm just trying to figure out how we can create this pill.
Right. As you know, biologists and chemists and
physicists as well.
And just a lot of ists.
Yeah, a whole lot.
We've got so many degrees.
it would have to make you feel.
There we go. Yep. Also linguists.
That's right. It would have to make you feel full.
Yes.
That's a big thing that we're missing here.
No.
If we can crack that code.
Dude, you're right. In my recipe of creating this, I'll be honest, Wes, I'm missing a lot. In fact, I have nothing. I got nothing except like an Advil that I scraped the stuff out of. Like I have a loose capsule.
But you're right. I am with you on this one now. It'd be so great if you were running late. You woke up late for work or something. And you had to run out without breakfast. You can just grab a quick glass of water and a pill, down that shit, and you're good to go.
You're done. That's your breakfast. So, like, that's, you know, whatever it is. Like, if a normal person is supposed to have 2,000, like, and you can buy them in, like, different caloric intakes or whatever. And, like, cool. If you're trying to, like, lose weight, then you take 3 pills a day that are, like, I don't know. Whatever it is, like 400 calorie pills, you know, whatever the hell it is. So like, but it could be a thing like, cool, I have one for breakfast, I have one for lunch. You and I go out to dinner, we're going to go to Five Guys, we're going to have burgers and fries, and like, cool, it's great, food still exists, it's not all pills.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm with you.
Thank you.
Good pick.
Are we rowing the same way again?
We're rowing the same way, in the same boat, all with right. The same oar.
I needed you, man. Yeah. I need you on this lake of technology.
Well, this one, it's really not from a specific movie, but just why don't we have cures for certain diseases? Like if you picture WALL-E or the Firefly universe or these other sci-fi universes, they don't have cancer, diabetes, at least it's never talked about.
To be fair, I think in WALL-E, they have a lot of diabetes.
But... that's probably right.
They probably have a lot of diseases in WALL-E, just saying.
Sure, sure. But you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Chris Rock has a bit in one of his one of his stand-up specials, where it's like the reason why we haven't found a cure for cancer yet is because they want to find a way to make us live with cancer so they can give us medication that we have to keep paying for. Like Robitussin for your cancer, I think is the...
The
example he gives. But like, why don't we have this? Charities? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
These charities raise so much money. There's so many of these Relay for Life's and these breast cancer walks and all these things. It's like, why don't we have any breakthroughs at all?
Two things for you real quick.
What's that?
About this particular thing that just had come up, talking about raising all this money. Where does it go? Why don't we have a cure? Turns out, feel free, don't take this straight from me. Feel free to fact check this. But, like, the Susan G. Komen, you know, which is, like, this big, like, they do the breast cancer thing, like, the pink ribbons, that's their thing, apparently are one of the worst charities to give to of the amount of money that they take in versus the amount of money that actually goes to the cause that they advertise that they are delivering it to, which is breast cancer. Well, that's on one side of the spectrum. However, my wife just told me this the other day too, so feel free to fact check this as well. But do you recall about this time, maybe about a year ago roughly, that there was the big ice bucket challenge for ALS?
That's right.
It was a viral thing that went around, and you showed a video of you getting an ice bucket dumped on you, and you would call somebody else out, and then it would raise money to find a cure for ALS,
mm-hmm.
or Lou Gehrig's disease. Turns out that thing was so popular about a year ago because it went viral. It raised like, I don't know, $200 million or something, some crazy amount of money. Turns out with that money, in the last couple of weeks, they just identified a gene that is one of the key components to ALS. So they've made a major breakthrough it has not cured ALS.
Sure.
But it is a big step in the right direction.
Sure.
Did they not have this influx of $200 million, maybe that didn't happen.
Well, that is awesome.
It is. It is a rarity, though. This is the, like, to go with your point, I don't recall a ton of these things. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't know, man. It's just a little frustrating that I feel like some breakthroughs for certain things should have happened by now.
Yeah, I bet, like, the super advanced and way smarter people than I am than you are, I'm gonna lump you in there, Wes,
mm-hmm.
that are working on cancer research and are working on diabetes research and this, I'm sure they're probably like, God damn it! I really was hoping this would be done by now.
Like, sure.
I'm sure they feel the same way as well.
Of course they do.
And just one more little commentary on this thing. You know what drives me crazy, man?
What's that?
Tell me for sure. You must have heard this at least at one point in your life where it's like, oh, actually, a glass of red wine in X amount of time, like daily or weekly or whateverly,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, it's actually good for you.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, a glass of red wine, that's good for you, whatever. Just released this study from wherever that's like, it's like, alcohol is a major contributing factor to cancer. It's like, weren't you telling us for years that, like, some red wine, like, no, all alcohol is bad for you. It's like, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, weren't you saying something? I feel so with this, like, all this money that we put in there, I also feel like there are all these studies at the same time. They're like, it's like, carrots, they'll cure everything. It's like, carrots, the main cure, main reason for cancer.
That's
like, Jesus, what is it? What can I eat? What can I not?
Yeah, that's a big thing, too.
God damn it.
I just want some answers.
I want some answers. I want some cures.
I think we all do. Even like you said, the people researching it right now. They just want some answers.
But I agree with you. Like, in most of our sci-fi futures, no one's like, oh, no, cancers, that's not a thing. We got rid of cancer years ago.
Yeah, disease isn't a thing. We had to move to other planets because everybody was so healthy.
Yeah, we had too many people because everyone's so goddamn virile and strong.
That's right. but that's my number four. So there's some cures for some diseases.
My number four.
Okay.
This comes from, I mean, name a sci-fi movie. This is probably in it. So, I mean, you can go to, like, Guardians of the Galaxy. You can go to Aliens. You can go to Minority Report. You can go anywhere. Where the hell are the, like, the projection computers? For example, like, say you have, like, this table right in front of us here. Like, think Star Wars when they show the plans for the Death Star.
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's a 3D representation that everyone is standing around, and here it is. Like, think Minority Report when it's this, like, this, which is, by the way, by far the most realistic, like, to me, version of the future,
mm-hmm.
is Minority Report. I love it. But, like, this, there's, you know, like, two, like, there's just this screen that pops up in front of him, and he uses his hands, and he like, moves windows within the screen and, like, throws it onto, like, a flash drive. And, like, think of all these movies, like, in Guardians of the Galaxy, when they're like, all right, it usually comes when they're doing the plot on the base, you know,
yeah,
like the big
yeah.
attack sequence or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, here it is. We're going to show it to you with these little models. So when you see it in 5 minutes with the real stuff, it'll look cooler and you'll know what's happening.
Yeah.
So, like, this is how we're going to attack this thing. And it comes up and everyone can see it. And, like, people are just, like, turning their hand and manipulating the 3D thing. Like, where is that? That doesn't seem that far-fetched to me.
Yeah.
We have projectors. We have super advanced computers and graphics, and we can 3D print things, and, like we cannot create a viable screen that can be projected kind of just, like, on itself in a way.
Yeah.
Like, that's something we can't do efficiently.
Yeah.
Now, there are drawbacks. Like, I think about, like, me being at work, if I had a Minority Report style, you know, computer screen where someone's like, hey, what's the price on that? And I can, like, on my screen, it shows, like, what they're going to pay and, you know, like,
oh,
what our
sure.
cost is. Like, I don't want them seeing through the back of my screen, be like, hey, wait a minute. You're totally ripping me off. Like, to the side, throw it away.
right into the junk pile.
Like, Why everything is on a monitor, everything is on a television, everything is, Like, imagine going to a sports bar where they could just, like, a giant wall of, like, with Minority Report access where they'd be like, hey, dude, can I get the Cubs game over here? And the guy's just like, just, like, throws it down the wall at you.
Throws it to your TV?
Yeah, like, where is that? Why is that not a thing?
I thought about this for a while, and it didn't make my list because I was just like, I agree with you. It'd be so cool, but it's not like I'm in my apartment planning to attack another apartment or a base. Like, we need to figure out these battle plans. It's not like I'm a forensic scientist at a crime scene and I have to, you know, have everything splayed out in front of me.
But okay, let me put it this way. Correct. You're not doing the enhance.
Yeah.
But let's say this. Let's say you're leaving your apartment and you're going to a buddy, like a friend's, like a other apartment for a party. You don't know. You've never been there before. So normally, what do we do now? We put it in our phones. We say the address and it shows us from a top down like map view of how to get there. Like, okay, I have an idea. What if you laid your phone down? You're like, put it in, and it just like real quick, like at like 10x speed, it was like, you're gonna go this way, you're gonna go this way, and like gave you a three, like it filled up your room. Like, cool, you're gonna go, you're gonna see this, you know, pizza place, you're gonna hang a left, you go, you're gonna see this, then like, blah, blah, here you go. Like, it doesn't have to be an attack, it can be just the route to your buddy's house. It can be, you know, like, imagine how much better paying your credit card bill would be, where like, you press the thing, and it's like, welcome to Chase Bank, and you're like, cool, I'd like to pay my bill, please. It's like,
sure.
Like stars, like, spin around, and you're like, just the minimum, thank you.
No, I like this. I like this, and it kind of goes into my number three, because we're kind of flirting with my number three right
Ooh,
now.
Oh, baby. What's going on over there?
Oh, yeah. You
Girl,
know,
what's going on?
You know what's going on.
Tell me what's up.
My number three is holograms.
Yeah.
But my example is from Serenity, where they're based at the very beginning of the movie. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Nice.
Is watching the footage of Simon and River Tam escaping the facility, and he's watching it via hologram. How cool would that be if you could just throw on a movie or a TV show and it's life size like that and you could walk through it? How cool would that be if you could watch The Avengers in actual 3D?
Yeah, in life size.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
You could sit on your couch and, like, all that footage of Iron Man flying around the city and how he's going crazy. You could do that from your couch.
Yeah, that, I mean,
you
could
fly around New York from your couch, and your eyes couldn't tell the difference because what they're seeing, well, seeing is believing.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. This is flirting. And also, when I thought about holograms, so we're a little flopsies right here.
Okay.
I thought about holograms. When I think about holograms, I always think about the Emperor from Star Wars, like just standing there. And so when I think holograms, I think of like calling my mom.
Sure.
You know? It's like, and it's just this like her sitting on a couch, this like kind of like grainy, fuzzy version of my mom. Like, hey, do you want to get together in the next week? I'm like, God, I wish we were texting. It's harder for me to play video games and talk to you this way.
Yeah. I'm trying to ignore you.
Or like my wife calls in. It's like, hey, can you pick me up from the L, you know, from the train in 10 minutes? Yeah, I can. So I don't need to see you riding the train right now. I don't need that.
Sure.
I don't need it. I love you very much, but I just would rather be texting.
Sure. Well, think of how much movie theaters are trying to make movie watching an immersive experience
right.
with the 3D and the D-box seats and other stuff I'm not even thinking of right now. Like this, they tried Smell-O-Vision for a while.
I'm telling you right now, the movie theaters right now are trying to shut us down right now. Because if this happens, like in a home setting,
yeah,
movie theaters are done.
Oh, that's it. That is done.
You're just gonna opening day. It's just gonna be streamed right to your living room, and it's done. You spend $10 and it's over.
Sure.
Over.
And
I am on board for.
I was just thinking, it doesn't even, these things, these movies, TV shows, whatever, they don't have to be fast-paced action movies either. I'm watching House of Cards season 4 right now. It's great, by the way. How cool would it be to just throw on your Netflix hologram, and suddenly you're in the same room with Frank Underwood yeah. and Claire Underwood and his Secretary of State, and just be really cool.
Yeah, it's at that point, it's you know, it's taking. You know, so you're talking about movies. The great thing about movies, they can do this huge over the top action sequence, and you're part of it. And on the other hand, it's the great thing about stage plays and live performances that you're closer to the audience or excuse me, to the performers. So those like really intense two person moments, you're right there. You're right on top of them. Mm-hmm. So like you, it's putting that both of those things in your living room.
Yeah, which is
phenomenal. So it's like having front row seats to the best play in the world.
Exactly.
You know, right in your living room. And it's also going to see Avengers, you know?
Yeah.
And it's also, and I know this doesn't register with you, but like it's having front row seats to any sporting event that you want.
Oh, sure.
Like so right now people pay hundreds of dollars a year for a, you know, a season, quote unquote, you know, like league pass or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever for each sport, it's a different pass, whatever the hell it is. But like, if there was a Chicago Bulls or Chicago Bears, like, it's like, cool. Here's a camera that is like, it goes from like the 50-yard line to the end zone to whatever, like whatever's most beneficial. And like, it's a front row seat and it's going to be $150 a year. It's like,
yeah.
So basically like you could sit in the front row of this sporting event. I mean, you couldn't even get to the front row of the sporting event for $150. Mm-hmm. But instead, we'll give you 16 games or 82 games or however many games for $150 a year, and it's you are on the field. Like, done.
That'd be awesome.
Dude, I'm surprised. I mean, now this is my number one. I'm stealing your number three, and I'm making it my number one.
See, I can't go on board for sports games, of course.
But wouldn't you be more engaged in sports if...
I was actually thinking about WWE.
Sure, there you go.
How I might be getting back into WWE if we could do this.
Sure.
Front row seats.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It would revolutionize the way that we filmed things and the way we experienced things. It would be incredible.
Exactly.
We should have it.
Why don't we have it? That's my number three.
Well, Wes, it appears that I accidentally did not put a number three on my list. Instead, I put two number fives.
It's okay, Steve. You've only been doing this podcast for... 3.5-4 years now?
No, I'm still picking it up.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a little bit higher than I had anticipated it. And I got to tell you, man, I am super jacked about your number three.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so good. And it just seems so right.
That's like, right.
It just, and actually, just last thing about, to put a button on yours, do you remember when you were a kid, those, the thing that would like project, like the starscape on your ceiling? That like that illuminated ball thing.
I do, yeah, yeah.
That is what I imagine your item looking like. That what you would need for. So you just stick it in the middle of your ceiling, and that's the thing. That's what I imagine it looking like.
That'd be awesome.
It's that simple. It's like $300. You're done.
Yeah,
it's good to go.
That's it. Everyone can have it.
Connected to your Wi-Fi, and it's good to go.
Yeah,
done.
Duh.
Apple makes it. It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, my number three. I don't know why we don't have live-in robotic maids that are not evil. I want to be very clear. They do not have, like, true AI. They're not going to go all Terminator on us. They're just going to be the witty, comical, best friend butler that lives in your house.
Steve.
Where is this?
This is my number one.
Is it your number one?
This is my number one.
Okay, then please, go ahead.
No, it was just... can you imagine all the day-to-day chores? I was thinking of something from, like... Robot and Frank, or what was that movie called?
Yeah.
Robot and Frank?
Yep.
Like something simple like that. It's not too humanoid, but it cleans the house, it cooks, and especially for your aging, you know, grandparents or parents out there, whoever, that can just help around the house. Of course, I want one too.
Yeah.
Like, practical application here.
Yeah.
Help people who are, it's a little tough for them to get around now because they're getting older. Like, it's just, where are those things?
I feel like at 21 years old, you should get one.
Like, yeah.
You can drink, and you get your robot butler.
Because they can drive you home.
They can drive you home, and, like, as a teenager, you, like, obviously your room is not going to be clean. You need to somewhat learn how to maintain a little bit as, like, in the youth.
So, sure.
You got to 21, great. So that means you're, like, a couple years into college for many people. It's like... Obviously, your house is a fucking pigsty. Not anymore. You made it, friend. You made it.
That's right.
So in my world, I'm thinking like Rosie from the Jetsons.
Okay.
So like it still looks like a robot.
Super hot.
Where's that hot apron? It still looks like a robot. It's not human enough where I'm going to like fall in love with it or anything.
Sure. We're not talking like something from Ex Machina.
No, we're not talking the super hot robots. Mm-hmm. We're not talking that. We're also not talking robots that are going to kill you. I mean, that
like
is
iRobot.
That is a big fucking caveat here.
Yeah.
Like, I do not want a robot made if it is going to lead the destruction of all mankind.
Like, yeah. Well, yeah.
I will forsake it if that is the case.
That's a pretty big if.
I'm just saying, like, I just want to be clear on this issue where I fall.
Okay.
And I want to live.
See, before I thought of Robot and Frank, I thought of the first round of robots from the movie iRobot. Not the newer, sleeker robots from iRobot that wound up, you know, killing everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with a kind of clunky-looking, steel-bodied, you know, robot. That's fine. I'm just looking for the occasional witty comment that doesn't hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
They're not aggressive comedy. Just like a nice little zing. Like, ah, Rosie.
Ah, you.
You. And like, that's like what we have right now, what we have done. In these years of technological development, we have a fucking Roomba. We have a Roomba.
Yeah. And that's it.
I mean, Roombas are cool.
I don't have one. I don't know.
I don't have one either. They're okay. Actually, your place would perfect Roomba place.
You think?
Absolutely, dude.
Interesting.
Because you got, really, the place is clean, except you got dog hair.
That's true.
And Roombas love nom, 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 nom. They love dog hair.
Eating that dog hair.
But I'll tell you what. You know what's better than a goddamn Roomba? Is a Rosie moving around this place, lifting up the couch with one hand, vacuuming underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that's what I want.
That's what I want.
We all want it.
Let's get it.
Where is it?
Why don't we have it?
Is it something stupid like the Hoover Company has been like keeping this down?
Oh, yeah. Big Hoover. You know them.
Hoover and Windex. Like, no, can't have it. Can't have it.
Oh, Big Cleaning Supplies. You know them.
They are manipulative.
Oh, they're lobbyists out in Washington. Oh, man.
Could you imagine if like one of these terrible presidential nominees is like, I am all for cleaning robots, and like Windex, like, no, you're not.
Hold on a goddamn second.
Do you want this presidency? Then you are against robots. I changed my stance.
Yeah, man, it's a great pick. That's why it's my number one.
All right. All right. So brings us to your number dose.
Yeah, my number two, I'll throw in an honorable mention for number one. My number two is just there's other examples of this. But the perfect one I want was from the final season of Castle. I want like a tiny little AI that just sits on a desk that's completely voice commands. Has its own little AI personality that can control your entire apartment from voice commands.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And that's not just Castle. That's like, I'm thinking, like, especially 80s sci-fi, like, Blade Runner, and I want to say, like, Total Recall, that kind of stuff.
Where sure.
Like, lights on, you know, like, exactly. Open drapes, you know, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. But you can program it with a name, so it's like, hey, Robert. What a terrible robot name.
That's
what
hey,
I got.
Bob!
Hey,
turn
Bob!
Turn the lights on, Bob!
Lights on! And, like, it can handle my calls and texts and everything around the apartment. This is why it came before the robot maiden stuff.
Sure.
I want to work up to that. Because this won't try to overthrow me in the year 2030.
See, I immediately get cautious once we throw AI in. Like, I know, I understand what you're talking about, and goddamn if it isn't sweet. Gotta be great. Tell me what you think your top three most used commands would be to your apartment AI.
Ooh, I would, I mean, obviously lights on, off.
Yeah, it's that. Beyond that.
Okay, beyond that.
And like unlock, lock the door because like you have to get in and out every day. Like the okay,
sure.
Beyond those couple things here.
Sure, sure. Preheat the oven.
Really? Are you a big oven guy?
I eat a lot of frozen pizza.
Okay. All right.
I probably something with my PlayStation. Turn the PlayStation's on.
Okay.
Which,
by the way, I know it's not as good, but I think you can voice activate your PS4.
Yeah, but we tried to do that before.
Yeah, it feels weird.
It feels weird and doesn't work at all.
Yeah, it's not great. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the Roomba of the voice experience.
Oh, boy. What do you think your top three would be?
Man, I think, you know what I would use a lot? I would use blinds up and down, like shades or whatever, because I do not like messing with my shades.
Interesting.
I would use that a lot, like when I wake up in the morning, because we have like two bay windows. Each one has three sets of shades. You could do all that plus the other windows at the same time. Be like wake up. I'd be like, all right, alarm off, shades up. And like, boom, I got sunlight. I'm like, all right. And then at the same point, I'd say shades up and shower on.
Interesting.
So right away. So then my water would start. So by the time I got in the shower, be nice and hot, ready to go.
Yeah.
I'd probably use two within the first 15 seconds of my day.
Interesting. Okay.
Probably, yeah, I get two of those. And then I would – last one would probably be like – it would actually probably be like a temperature thing. It would be like
– That's what I was thinking too.
The next one would be like – because I'm fickle about the temperature where I'd be like, hey, Bob, can we get this baby set at 72?
Yeah.
They'd be like, that's just a little too hot. Bob, let's bring it down to 70.5. That's too cold. It's too cold, Bob. Too cold.
Wow. You're so fickle.
So fickle. Yeah, those are probably my main three.
Yeah, I agree. I think my last one would be the temperature thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one on the list is kicking out jams. It would just be voice-activated songs and videos from there.
Sure.
That's what it'd be. Yep. But
that's what I want, man. Like a smart-talking AI that gives me a little bit of sass every now and then. Not too much.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Nothing offensive. No, we'll figure out the parameters of how far it can push me.
Sure.
Because at no point do I want to feel like I need to throw it through the wall.
Exactly.
Don't want that.
So I'm number two.
All right. Number two. I'm going back to my favorite futuristic world. I'm going back to the world of Minority Report.
Okay.
But, because I actually thought this was going to be your number one, I don't want flying cars. I want the cars from Minority Report. If you recall, they still have roads, but they are these driverless pod kind of things.
I did think of this.
Where you kind of step into it and it just goes. They're like they're long and they're narrow and they kind of like they come off this like what are essentially like off ramps and like they can go like up walls and like that sort of thing, but they don't run on like conventional wheels and this kind of thing. So like I don't. Because to me, the idea of flying cars, which is a classic sci-fi thing, to me is absolute chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Chaos.
How do you keep regulate those?
Like, so we all drive right now where we worry about people to our right and to our left.
Yeah.
Think about doing it vertically as well. Think about people above, below, to the right, and to the left. But are you crazy? There is no way human beings can do that efficiently.
Oh, no way.
No way.
No way.
0% chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want flying cars. I don't want it. But I also, similar to the food pills, I like driving and I like cars. So I still want the ability to drive a car from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to sacrifice it on the day-to-day where I'd be like, I feel like going for a drive. I'm going to go to this place where I can drive. So if you recall in Minority Report, that's like downtown, the main city, that's how it all is done. But when he goes like out into the country, he is in this like weird Lexus prototype vehicle thing that he actually drives himself.
Sure.
So like that's what I'm talking about. Like get me to a place where maybe not the entire world has this kind of like track of cars, these pod car things. But like, I want that because it's so much better for humans because we're not, as much as I like to think I'm a great driver, the number one thing that kills us like as people is each other hitting each other with cars.
Yeah.
We do it all of the time.
Yeah.
And we're awful at it. So if we can reduce that by a significant margin, that'd be great. And think about how much, like, I have a drive. I know you work at home. Your commute is 10 seconds. Like,
yeah.
I have about a 40-minute commute to work. If I could spend that 40 minutes playing games on my phone, you know, like doing whatever, like reading a book, doing work, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, like not worrying about getting to and from a place safely and efficiently. It is a huge thing. That's an amazing thing to have.
Quick question before we move on. This is a great pick. Are these single-person vehicles, or are these multi-person vehicles like a bus?
No, I want to say – I would say there are going to be – I'd say you have the full range, just like you do of cars and vehicles now. There would be a larger capacity maybe, like for those who cannot afford one of these pod things mm-hmm. or whatever. There's like public pods, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. Or there is just like a cheap, small, like almost like a smart car version where it's like, it's just you, it's a one-seater, you just sit there by yourself. Or like you have a family, so there's like, it's room for four, a room for seven, a room for like, it's just like cars. You can buy a different pod with like nicer seats or this or a better sound system or whatever. Just like that. But you like they all drive the same.
Sure.
It's just what you want inside of it, that sort of deal.
All right. I like that a lot, especially for me who does not have a car. This would be great.
Yeah.
So my number one was obviously a robot maid, a robot butler. The most ridiculous thing I thought of that I wanted to mention at some point was the seashells from Demolition Man.
The seashells?
Have you seen Demolition Man?
I've seen Demolition Man.
They use seashells instead of toilet paper. And as far as I know, I looked it up today, I could not find how the hell you use those three seashells for toilet paper.
Okay. Are you fucking with me right now?
I said the most ridiculous thing. I don't want it, but...
Are you serious?
It's in the movie. Yeah, yeah.
I swear to God, I've seen Demolition Man at least four or five times. I recall this 0%.
The scene is, if I remember, by the way, you look so mad when you're like, are you fucking with me right now?
I feel like you're fucking with me.
I am not. The scene goes, Sylvester Stallone, right?
Okay. And Wesley Snipes and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, yeah. He walks out and he's like, I couldn't find any toilet paper. There's nothing but seashells. And Sandra Bullock's like, you don't know how to use the seashells? And the whole police precinct starts laughing at him. You don't remember this?
I don't.
After we're done here, I'm going to show you the scene.
My God, man.
So I don't even know how you would do that.
I obviously... Well... idiot!
But, sir, to your number one.
Well, with that introduction...
yeah.
Can I get some goddamn spaceships in my life?
Okay.
Can I get some spaceships? Wes, name me three spaceships right now.
Okay.
Like, just kick-ass spaceships.
Yeah, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
There we go. Yeah. Give me three spaceships.
I forget what the Guardians of the Galaxy spaceship.
Yeah, it's kick-ass.
It's kick-ass spaceship. The Battlestar Galactica spaceship.
Yeah, yeah.
And the X-Wing.
Yeah, those are kick-ass spaceships. The Millennium Falcon. The Death Star. The Star Destroyers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Think of all of these ships throughout science fiction, of dudes and ladies hanging out in space in these either monstrous huge barges of cities in the sky, or these awesome nimble fighters, TIE fighters, and whatever. Like, what do we have? What do we have? We don't use space shuttles anymore. If the X-Wing is cool, like a sports car, like the space shuttle is like the Winnebago. It's like the camper of space flight. Like, what we have, the International Space Station, which looks like a jalopy compared to, like, if you were to do the new Star Wars and show all these ships fly around and it just, like, goes around ISS, you're like, what is that thing? What poor, poor space hermit lives in that?
Yeah.
Why can't we have spaceships?
Oh, man, I wish I knew.
What are we doing up there?
I don't know.
Let's get moving, dude. Come on.
See, I have a strong stance on space. Fuck space. I don't want to go up there. As long as it stays up there and leaves me alone down here on Earth, I am okay with it.
I have a strong stance on space as well.
What's that?
Get in there.
Get in there.
Get in there like you're on a third date. Heyo.
Let's, come on. Get in there. Don't be a pussy. Get in there.
That's right.
Dude, we gots to go. We're burning this place up.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
We're burning this place up. We gots to go.
That is true.
And we are not at a pace that is a, like, you, I, come on, dude. You cannot tell me in the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of spaceship designs, not saying that they're all from, like, you know, obviously verified architects of space, you know, mobiles, that they're all, you know, space worthy, but you cannot tell me that you can't find a handful in previous designs where, like, you know what? You know, we just got to change the little wing structure here, and that thing actually is going to do pretty good.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You can't tell me you can't find some that are going to work.
No, I agree.
Come on now.
Well, I wish I was in charge of it, so I could appease you.
If the entire world was like, look, global warming is a real deal, and we have got to figure out a way to colonize somewhere else. The world collectively is putting in, you know, $100 billion, mm-hmm. and we're building a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Be like, finally! Thank you! Let's go! Do you tell me Elon Musk and SpaceX is not somewhere in, like, the White House and the, you know, somewhere in Moscow? Like, dude, these ships that we're building are fun, but we gotta get real.
Yeah.
We need thousands of people up here.
Sure.
Come on.
No, I agree.
Can a dude get a spaceship?
I mean, I want it. I just don't. I want to stay down here. You have fun in space.
But I'm not, Wes, we're going to be long dead.
That's
by
true.
The time we're up there. I just want to see the wheels turning and getting it going.
Sure.
Get in there.
Get in there.
Let's go. Tell me, man, if you're going to line up the fleets of all of these science fiction things, like, you line up the Star Wars universe, the Star Trek universe, you line up all their ships, like the Halo universe, all this stuff. You're like, wow, okay. And then you line up Earth. And it's like, ah, oh, boy, we have Mir, the jalopy that is ISS, and we got the Winnebago that is the now defunct space shuttle. We suck. We suck.
Oh, Steve, you make a good point. But why don't you go ahead and give me your top five in review?
Sure, my top five in review. I want food in pill form. I want projection-style computers. I want the witty robotic maid / butler. I want the Minority Report car that still allows me to drive when I need to. And number one, can a dude get some spaceships?
My number five was self-tying shoes. My number four was just cures for some diseases out there. My number three was the hologram things for, like, movies and sports events and stuff. My number two is the voice commands for everything that controls your apartment. My number one was a robot butler or maid. A la Robot and Frank.
Man, I'll tell you what. If we just got one of these things in the next 10 years, I'd be so happy.
So happy.
So happy about it. And honestly, the thing that would make me maybe the most happy are those goddamn shoes, dude.
No kidding, man.
Give me some shoes.
I want to point out that when we were talking about this list, we did discuss hoverboards, but yeah. We agreed to leave it off the list because that's just a go-to.
I mean, I want a hoverboard more than anything in my life.
That's
there
right.
You go.
Maybe more than self-tying shoes. We'll never know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for listening this week. We appreciate it. There are so many things that we should have, but we don't.
And if any of you out there are scientists, biologists, radiologists, all these other ists,
get on it.
Get to work.
Get in there. Get in there.
But we want to know, what top five objects do you want?
What should we have had by now?
There you go.
Us know.
You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com.
As always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out.